Hello, and welcome to One Single Thought, the podcast where two Christian single women take theological deep dives and bring perspectives on life, mixed with levity and joy. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 43 of One Single Thought. Heather, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm phenomenal. I have a crazy question for you today. Have you ever found nuns fascinating?
I don't know if I would say fascinating.
So maybe I overthink it because I was a big Sound of Music fan, and I always wanted to be Maria von Trapp because I just thought that was the coolest story. She devoted her life to the Lord as a nun, and then ended up being a nanny, and then ends up marrying the handsome Captain von Trapp.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always found it fascinating, like, the nuns. I mean, Heather, you and I are followers of Christ. We've devoted our life to following him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have nuns from the Catholic religion that just give up their, like, literally give up their lives, take, you know, a vow of chastity. They just live their whole lives, and that's their whole focus every waking moment. And I don't know. I found that really fascinating. So it kind of segues into our topic today. We are bringing back the old Movies You Missed series.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are going to review Sister Act, the 1992 movie with Whoopi Goldberg. And I think we just randomly picked it, not realizing that there's actually Sister Act 3 is not coming out anytime soon, but I think they're working on it.
Yes, yep.
I think Tyler Perry
mm-hmm.
is working on that, so I actually saw that in the news the other day, right after we said that we were thinking about reviewing this movie.
Our finger is on the pulse
yes.
of what's going on in the world. That's why we chose
it. I'm not really sure why we chose it, honestly. I think it was just an idea. It is a 1992 movie with Whoopi Goldberg, and I saw it when I was in high school. It's got an ensemble cast, so there's lots of different characters in there. Mary Wicks, who was in White Christmas, we talked about in our last Movies You Missed episode. She's in there, although she is much older. So yeah, it's a fun little movie. It's rated PG, and there's some language in it and some mild violence. You don't see any blood and guts,
mm-hmm.
but it is a fun movie to watch. So that'll be our next installment of Movies You Missed. And our one single thought today is, go ahead, sister, make them sing.
Go ahead, sister, make them sing.
Which is a quote from Mary Wicks' character, Sister Mary Lazarus, who I loved her. So Rose, let's start with a summary of this movie.
The movie starts in Reno, Nevada, where lounge singer Dolores, who is Whoopi Goldberg's character, and she's dating one of the mob guys that she witnesses a mob murder. And the cops stash her away in a convent to protect her from these hitmen, because now they know she's seen a murder and they know she can turn them in and give them up to the cops. So she ends up in this convent, and the Mother Superior, who's played by Dame Maggie Smith, is not happy about this. She doesn't trust her, and she ends up giving her one responsibility, and that one responsibility is to sing in the choir. And gives her the name Sister Mary Clarence. So Sister Mary Clarence joins the choir and realizes how horrible the choir is.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, she rescues this failing choir. So after Dolores, or Sister Mary Clarence, helps rescue this choir, they begin to help with community projects to get a lot of publicity for the convent and the church, because the church really is falling away and it's almost dying. There's rarely any congregation there. And in the meantime, the lieutenant who's keeping her stashed away and hasn't told anybody where she is, even on the police force, there's a mole there and a leak, and tips off the mob on where she is. And so the chase begins, and we won't spill the end of the movie in case you haven't seen it. So Heather, why don't you tell us about our main characters?
All right. Well, there's a bunch of characters in this movie, but I'll just highlight the top handful of them. So Whoopi Goldberg is the main character. I think everybody knows Whoopi Goldberg, but she plays Dolores Van Cartier, who goes undercover as Sister Mary Clarence. She pretends she's a nun. She goes into hiding as a nun, as you said. Dame Maggie Smith plays Mother Superior. So she's the head of the convent. And she's the one nun at the convent who knows who Dolores really is. She knows her true identity. And then the bad guy, the mob boss, is Vince LaRocca. And he's played by Harvey Keitel. Bill Nunn, who unfortunately has passed away. I didn't know he had passed away. He plays Lieutenant Eddie Souther. He's the cop who puts Dolores into hiding in the convent. So he's Dolores' one ally, the tie to the outside world. Mary Wicks, who I've mentioned, she plays Mary Lazarus. She's kind of the comic relief of everything. Kathy Najimy plays Sister Mary Patrick. I know she's played on a bunch of things, but I cannot remember what she's...
She was in The Wedding Planner. Okay. She owned the wedding planning company that J-Lo's character worked for.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that movie.
That's the one that sticks out to me. But I know she's been in other stuff.
I've seen her in some things, and I just can't place her. And then Sister Mary Robert is played by Wendy McKenna. And then Bishop O'Hara, who is the priest at the parish of the Catholic Church there, is Joseph Mayer. And I'm sure I pronounced all these people's names wrong, but there we go. So those are our main characters. Rose, was there one that stood out to you?
I absolutely adored Kathy Najimy as Sister Mary Patrick. If I were to picture myself as a nun, it would be her.
Yeah.
She was always laughing, always upbeat, always just so cute and funny. And I don't know, I just loved her. It was hard to pick one because there were quite a few that I really liked. I liked Sister Mary Clarence, Whoopi Goldberg. But I think I was just like, okay, if I was going to be one of these, who would I be? It would be Sister Mary Patrick. So Heather, which character stood out to you? Did you have a favorite character?
That's really funny you said that because I was drawn to Mary Lazarus, who was the old grumpy old lady who is played by Mary Wicks. I just thought she was hilarious because she's very sarcastic and tough, and she kind of knows about the world. So she has these great one-liners. So I really liked her a lot.
Well, she had her one single thought. So
yes, yeah. So the one single thought is her line, and it's when... And I'll get into that in a minute, but she delivers that line very flawlessly, and I love it. Did you have a favorite scene in the movie?
I liked any scene where Sister Mary Patrick busts a move. So there's a scene where they go to a bar, and it's three of them. It's Sister Mary Robert, Sister Mary Patrick, Sister Mary Clarence, and the music plays, and I mean, Sister Mary Patrick she can't be still, like she's dancing till the point of where Whoopi has to like pull her out of the bar. And then when they started doing all the community projects, a lot of the youth in the area helped them and did things with them, and they were walking down, and one of the scenes was kind of a montage of the different things they were doing. They had the music playing, and the youth were walking, the teenagers were walking with her, and music starts playing, and she just starts busting a move in the street. And I just love that because, again, like, that would be me as a nun because I would like the hip-hop music and all that. But she's just adorable, and I loved it when she danced. It was like, it's almost as if I'm trapped in this, you know, I love God and I'm serving him, but I just want to dance. So yeah. I thought that was super cute. I love that.
That's great.
So Heather, what was your favorite scene in the movie?
I love the choir practice scene. So we said that Sister Mary Clarence Dolores she's been punished. She has to go help the choir, and that's supposed to be her job, to keep her out of trouble. So she goes to help the choir, to sing with the choir. And it's a hilarious scene because, like we've said, they can't sing at all. Sister Mary Patrick is singing really loud. Sister Mary Robert is barely singing. And then people are all over the place. Sister Alma is... the piano player who is hard of hearing, and she's got a hearing aid with a battery pack around her neck, and the battery keeps going out. It's hilarious.
She was a close second to my
favorite. I loved her. She was so cute because Dolores is like, Alma, check your battery. And Alma has this cute little grin. It's so cute.
She does.
But I love how Dolores fixes the choir. I think that's the musician in me. I just how she just makes everything sound good. All of a sudden, it's just magically repaired and they can sing. It doesn't happen that fast in real life, but I just love that scene a lot. And that's when they find out she's got a musical background. And they said, oh, can you help us? Because we really need help. We're really bad. Can you help us sing? And she reluctantly takes the baton from Sister Mary Lazarus, who says to her, go ahead, sister, make them sing. You think you can do it? Go ahead, make them sing. And of course she does. She makes them sing. I also love the scene where they're fixing up the neighborhood. You mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Because there's a whole montage, the musical montage. Those are always great to see just the different things happening and how they're having fun and getting everything cleaned up and pretty. So those are probably my two favorite scenes of the movie. Okay, weird question for you.
Okay.
If you were stowed away in a convent in hiding, what would be your skill? So Dolores's skill she has to draw from is her musical talent. Do you have a skill that you would have to take over if you were in a witness protection in a convent?
Yeah. I don't think I would love that, just to be in there for a little while, just because I'm so enamored by nuns. I would probably say something craft-like. So there was a scene where they were making rosary beads or rosary necklaces or something. Because Sister Mary Clarence was having a hard time, like, threading all the beads. And of course, you know, Sister Mary Patrick was just giggling and, you know, happy to be alive. And that would be my sweet spot is crafting, making the rosary beads and that kind of thing. Or at minimum, I'd be in the kitchen and try to help make something better than the swig of not nastiness they were having to eat. But
yeah,
I mean, I just think it's kind of fun to think about being in that position. What would you do if you're stuck
right
in that position? What would you do, Heather?
I would probably be doing something with music.
You could start the orchestra. You could get them all to learn how to play instruments.
Yeah, if they could.
So, Heather, we always like to look at the spiritual aspects of the movies that we watch. So, what are the spiritual aspects we can glean from this movie?
There's probably a lot that we could take from the movie. I mean, any movie, there's always the theme of good versus evil and morality and all of that. I think there's probably two, actually, and at first I was like, I don't know what in the world, because, you know, it's about nuns, it's about Catholicism in general. Hollywood's version of what it means to be a good person and to go to heaven and that kind of thing. But I think I thought of two things that we could take away. So first of all, Dolores fakes it until she makes it with this nun thing. So she goes in reluctantly. She's doing it just to be protected from the mob. But in the end, she basically becomes one of them. And the Reverend Mother at the end, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it and you want to, but she confirms to the bad guys, she's like, oh no, she's definitely a nun. These are all the ways that she's proved herself to be a nun. Whether she really meant that or she was just trying to cover for her, I don't know. But that's not how it works with a true relationship with Jesus. You don't fake it till you make it. You've got to make a true commitment. And I would say, you know, if that's all we had to do, then we're in trouble. So that's one thing we need to keep in mind when we watch this, if you watch this movie, that you can't just fake, you know, if you're not really walking with the Lord and you're doing your own thing, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know what, I'm going to be a good person, and I'm going to do all these things and prove myself, and then I'm all good, I'm going to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. You know, we know that nobody is perfect. We're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. And it's only because of Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross that we have any hope of salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn that. You can't fake it till you make it. That's one point. On the other end, there's a lesson here in how these nuns were cloistered away from the community. They were kind of in this little bubble, and the Reverend Mother, the Mother Superior, didn't want her nuns to be out in the world because she was afraid for their safety and for the influence that was in that neighborhood. It was a bad neighborhood. And she would not let them go out and minister to the people, even though they really wanted to. And there's a lesson there for Christians we can take from that, is that it's not good for churches in general, but especially as believers, to be isolated from the community. And of course, we're not proponents of a social gospel where all you got to do is do all these community projects and then that's all you need. But at the same time, it's important for us to be out there serving our community. And as Ninth and O, our church, every year, we actually do a focus on the community in Louisville. We do service projects around town. We call it Love the Ville, Louisville. Right. So we love the Ville. We go out and serve the community in different ways, but not just to do good things for them, but to have opportunities to share the gospel with people. And so I think there's a good lesson in the fact that these nuns are able to finally get out and serve the community, and they end up building relationships with them. Now, of course, the people come to church. That, you know, the church at the beginning of the movie, the church is dying. There's like 10 people in the congregation and then the group of nuns. And then, of course, once they learn how to sing and they start doing Motown songs in the choir loft, then all of a sudden, the whole community comes to hear them sing, and they're raising all this money and all of that. That's not really how it works, and that's not the best way, I would say, to grow your church. But we can take a lesson that we need to be out there building relationships with our community as believers. So those are probably the two major points that I found.
Those are good.
Do you have anything that you noticed?
You know, I didn't. I think I will say, though, that your comment about, you know, being cloistered away, like how the nuns were sort of in their bubble, I think that's something that, you know, I've been enamored by nuns for a lot of my life. And although that seems appealing to just be tucked away somewhere, I mean, it's really not what the Lord commands us to do. You know, we need to be in the world, but not of it. And although they did minister to a lot of people, their motive behind it was different than what the Bible teaches. It was like what you said. It was like almost like a works-based belief system. It's always, like you said at the beginning, good overcoming evil is always just a good picture of the gospel, even if it's not portrayed in the way, you know, in a gospel format.
Yeah.
I think and I think that's a really good indicator that we all are looking for good to overcome evil.
Yeah.
And the greatest good that overcame evil was Christ dying for us so that we could live with God forever. And it's that part of us that is always, you know, longing for that evil to be overcome by good.
Was there anything in the movie you didn't like?
There was a scene toward the end where Dolores is being chased by these mob guys in the casino. She was able to fake them out and get away. They had captured her. They were going to kill her. And she was being very calm, acting like a nun. And then she like dropped to the floor, knocked him aside and ran. So they start chasing her, and they're chasing her through the kitchen. And obviously there's people in there making food. And they literally pull out their guns and they shoot at her. And no one in the kitchen acted like anything about that was weird. And I was like, I've watched that a lot, but when I I've watched the movie a ton. When I rewatched it, that scene just struck me different. Like, really? Like, nobody in that kitchen went to, like, call, like, security? Because I know enough about casinos to know there is security on site, because there's a lot of money being floated around. So it's
That's
like,
funny.
If I was in the kitchen and I was a staff and I saw these two guys shooting at a nun of all things, I think I would have called security and said, hey, something's going down. Because honestly, nothing really happened, because the rest of the nuns were in the casino, and it wasn't until Lieutenant Eddie that came, really nothing was accomplished until he got there. So I just thought that was a little unbelievable to think of that they could just stand by. And so I'll share a story from Heather and I's adventures. A couple days ago, Heather took me to the bank. I needed to get some papers notarized, and we left to go find a FedEx box so I could send them off. And there was this poor lady having some kind of mental breakdown in the middle of the road when we were driving up. So much so, I was a little frightened for her, but also for us, because I didn't know if she had a suitcase, she could have threw it at the car. My first thought was, I gotta get her help. Like, we need police on the case. And so I called the police department, and they said they would send somebody over. It wasn't an emergency, but I was afraid she might flail herself out into the roadway and get run over. okay, she wasn't even shooting a gun, and I need to call help for help. Like, come on, people, you're in the kitchen, and there's gunshots being fired. I can suspend my disbelief for, you know, pretty far, but that one, that scene, and maybe I was just sensitive because of what just happened to us, but, I mean, it's no big deal, but it is the one thing I kind of got on my nerves a little bit, this watch. So, Heather, is there anything you didn't like about the movie?
This is kind of weird, but I don't like the scene where they sneak out and go to the bar at the beginning. Not for any pious reason on my part, but because she sneaks out and then Mary Robert and Mary Patrick follow her. And I'm stressed that they're going to get caught or mm-hmm. that she's going to get found out by somebody. Like, I remember the very first time I saw this movie, seeing that scene and thinking, oh no, she's going to get caught.
Yeah,
the bad guy's going to find her. And that stresses me out. And I had to, actually had to kind of fast forward to that part because I don't like it. Because even though I knew that they're not going to get caught, I knew what's going to happen. And it's kind of a funny scene because they're in the bar and they're like, why are there nuns in here? But that's one scene I'm not too crazy about. And then also, and this is theological Heather getting in playing coming into play here, but there's a scene where the choir, they're starting to draw a crowd and they are doing a song to the theme of My Guy, the song My Guy from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest introduces them and he talks about Mary Magdalene and he says that she was a woman with a sketchy past and she had been involved with sinful behavior, which that is not, if you know the story, Mary Magdalene, there's nothing about her being a prostitute in the Bible. She was demon possessed. Yes. Now that's sketchy behavior being demon possessed, but that's one of my pet peeves. And poor Mary Magdalene has this carried this reputation for centuries that she was a woman of ill repute and that is not in the Bible.
It's funny, when I watched that scene, I thought that very same thing, because Heather and I had just talked about this the other day, and Heather had said, Mary Magdalene gets a bad rap, and so I had that on my mind, and I watched that scene, and I'm like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah, so, it drives me crazy, but it's Hollywood.
True.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to rate our movies with a 1 to 5 popcorn box rating. Rose, with 5 boxes being excellent and 1 box being terrible, what rating would you give Sister Act and why?
I would give it 5 popcorn boxes. It gets my top rating.
Wow.
Even with that one unbelievable scene in the casino kitchen, I could watch this movie over and over. I never tire of it. I mean, even when I watched it this time, and I have not watched it in a long time, I enjoyed it. Obviously, I knew it was going to happen, so I wasn't surprised by anything. But I love the movie. And any movie that I can watch multiple times garners a 5-star for me. That's kind of how I rate my books and how I rate my movies. If I can read a book again, which I rarely read a book over and over, or if I can watch a movie over and over, then it gets 5 stars.
Wow.
I miss the times, and maybe this is showing my age. I mean, this was made in 1992, and I was in my 20s, mid-20s, I guess. And I miss, like, just the times when you could just go to a movie, and it had an interesting plot. It was a little bit of drama, but it was also a comedy, and it was just fairly clean movie.
You didn't have to research the death to find out if it's going to have all this stuff in it you shouldn't be seeing.
Yes, and so many movies are just so heavy now. Like, when I go to the movies, I want to just enjoy myself. I don't really want to be so burdened when I leave that, it's just stressful. Mm-hmm. So, I guess you would call this like a dramedy or something, but I miss it. And so, watching it just is refreshing to think, there was a time when we had movies like this, and I miss those kind of movies. Mm-hmm. And people now, I think we make a lot of remakes, so we try to do it over and over. And I will say, of course, we don't know what Sister Act 3 is going to be about, but I will say that Sister Act 2 is equally as good as Sister Act 1, and that's rare.
Yeah.
So I give it 5 popcorn boxes. What about you, Heather? What's your rating?
I would give it a 4. It's a fun movie. It brings back nostalgic memories for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love some of the funny scenes. It's just not a movie that I would go intentionally seek out to watch. If it was on TV and I was flipping channels and it was on, I'd probably watch it, but...
I mean, 4 is still a...
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's a good movie.
It's 4 is still a rep... A
aside from the theological issues and the...
That takes a star away right there.
Some of the disbelief you have to suspend, but...
Yes.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not a bad movie. Better than some of the other stuff out there today, for true. Sure. That's our recap of Sister Act. Again, Rose, where can you watch it? Disney Plus, I believe.
And... Disney Plus is the... If you have a subscription to Disney Plus, it's free. I believe there's some other places where you can rent it.
Like Prime
yeah. and Vudu and some of the other streaming services. But if you have a Disney Plus subscription, you can watch Sister Act for free.
All right. And our one single thought, again, go ahead, sister, make them sing.
And she did.
She did. What is our one random thought, Rose?
My one random thought is my one singing thought today. And it is... Did you ever know that you're my replacement? All right, a little background on that line. It's actually, did you ever know that you're my hero from Wind Beneath My Wings, sung by Bette Midler. You got to know that. If you don't know the backstory, it doesn't really make sense. From the movie Beaches, another tearjerker. So Bette Midler, who was in Beaches and who sang that song, Wind Beneath My Wings, was actually cast as the original Sister Mary Clarence.
Dolores.
And obviously Bette Midler could sing, so that makes sense. So when Bette Midler left and did not continue pursuing this character or the movie, I think there was just some delays and things. Mm. They changed the main venue of where the story would take place from Chicago to San Francisco. So in the movie, although Whoopi was... Dolores Van Cartier was singing in Reno, they hid her away in a convent in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And in the original idea for the movie, Bette Midler was going to be cast as that nun, and it was going to be in Chicago. So they switched it to San Francisco, and that's actually where Whoopi Goldberg got her start in stand-up comedy.
Hmm.
Bette Midler, interestingly enough, according to the reputable site IMDb.com, apparently, Bette Midler is going to be in Sister Act 3. So I'm kind of anxious now for that movie to come out because I'm curious to see what the plot is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yeah, that'll be interesting.
So, Heather, what's your one Ricky thought?
My one Ricky thought today has nothing to do with the movie again. I keep trying, but I can just can't always do it. But my one Ricky thought is a magnetic attraction.
A magnetic attraction.
Ricky loves to hop on top of my fridge. I do let him get up there because it's high up and he likes to be high up. So he likes to hop up on top of the fridge. The thing that bugs me is that he likes to get up on top of the fridge, lean over the fridge, and stretch his arms down to where he knocks off all my magnets on the floor. I collect magnets, and so my fridge is covered in them. And Ricky will flick them off, slide them around, knock them on the floor, and then kick them under the fridge.
So now when he gets up on the refrigerator and he leans over to do this, mm-hmm. like, does he ever, like, dive down from the top to the floor?
No, he doesn't jump off, okay. But he just leans down as far as he can go and mm-hmm. stretches out as far as he can.
That's impressive.
And I usually catch him in the act. I'm like, Ricky, what are you doing? And then he just looks at me with his arms down straight.
Wow, that's yeah. that's very acrobatic of Ricky to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's a stinker. So, but he likes to kick him off the fridge and then play soccer with him. That's life with a boy cat. I might start a new series, Life with a Boy Cat.
I like that. Because he's definitely a boy cat.
He's definitely a boy cat. I've got all kinds of boy cat stories.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a girl cat, it might be different. But this is what you get.
With a boy cat.
With a boy cat. What's our one single question?
Well, this is our question we have with all of our movies that we recap on Movies You Missed. What is your favorite line? So, Heather, what's your favorite line?
I'm going to pick two. In this movie, we have Maggie Smith, Dame Maggie Smith, who, if you're a Downton Abbey fan, she played the Dowager Countess, who was famous for her zingers, her one-liners. She's more understated in this movie because she's playing a very prim and proper Mother Superior in this movie. But one line that I really loved is when the group of nuns are flying into Reno to rescue Dolores from these mobsters who have kidnapped her. And they're looking out. They're in this little helicopter thing. They're looking out the window, and they're looking at Reno from the sky, and they say, "Oh, it's beautiful." And Sister Mary Patrick says, "And what a lovely name, Reno." And then the Reverend Mother goes, "And Gomorrah." And then Sister Mary Lazarus, who is my favorite character, Mary Wicks, there's actually two things I want to share that she says. So one, she's learning about this supposed convent that Sister Mary Clarence Dolores comes from, which is all fake. And they're told that it's this progressive convent. She's a little more laid back. So Sister Mary Lazarus says, "A progressive convent? Sounds awful. I liked my convent in Vancouver, out in the woods. It wasn't all modern like some of these newfangled convents. We didn't have electricity, bare feet, cold water. They were nuns." And Sister Mary Patrick says, "Sounds wonderful." And then Sister Mary Lazarus says, "It was hell on earth. I loved it. This place is a Hilton." And then later on, Sister Mary Robert, Sister Mary Clarence, and Sister Mary Lazarus, they're all eating ice cream. They're sneaking into the kitchen. They're eating ice cream late at night, which they're not supposed to do because they're supposed to be living in poverty and giving up indulgences. Sister Mary Lazarus says, "This is a sin. It's a wicked indulgence. Didn't they have any butter pecan?" What's your favorite line?
So my favorite line is more, it's long, but it's in the very beginning, right after Dolores comes to the convent, the first thing she does is she gets her habit to wear, and then she goes to eat. I don't know if it's dinner or lunch. And it's the Mother Superior introduces her to everyone, and Sister Mary Patrick, my favorite nun, leans down and goes, "Why don't you say the blessing, Sister Mary Clarence?" And her prayer, it ranks up there with the prayer from Meet the Parents when he has no idea how to pray. This reminds me of that prayer. And she says, "Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we are about to receive. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger. We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands, and by the power invested in me, I pronounce us ready to eat. Amen." I love that because she was pulling from everything.
That reminds me of the prayer from the Christmas Vacation with the Aunt Bethany.
Yes.
Does the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. So that has to be my favorite line, even though there was a lot of lines that were hilarious in the movie.
That's great. Oh, that's a funny movie. It's a good feel-good movie.
Yeah, it is.
And you can watch it on a Sunday afternoon, which is what I did.
Yeah, you can watch it on a Sunday afternoon. You can watch it I would feel okay watching it with my older kid. You know, mm-hmm. It's not completely horrible.
All right, well, that wraps up our episode today. We'll be back in a few weeks. We're not sure about how the schedule is going to play out, but we will be back in a couple of weeks.
And until next time, don't follow your heart, follow God. We hope you've enjoyed One Single Thought. Our theme music is provided by Lindsay Cook, and we're so happy you joined us. Please be sure to share this episode with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. We'd love it if you'd rate and review our podcast so more people can find us and join our tribe of listeners.